This Doug and Danny podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney.
This is Central Nebraska's most listened to all sports radio station.
We always parade winners around here.
From 1460 KXPN and 1550 KICS, you're listening to Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation.
For any of you who have listened in the past, you know that I am not a radio-trained personality, so we are just going by the seat of our pants.
It's time for the Tri-Cities number one sports show. You're listening to the Doug and Daddy Show.
Victoria and Zaretska, these Russians, they need to buy a vowel. Let me just say that. They need to buy a vowel with that first name.
Now coming to you live from the Midway Auto Dealership broadcast booth. Need a vehicle? Think Midway.com.
No. I don't think that. It's just minor. It's just a minor sin. It's a minor one. Well, I'm coming to you then for some of the major ones.
It's time for the Doug and Daddy Show.
Everyone, Doug Duda with you here on the Doug and Daddy Show, a Monday edition, a little bit different for you today. UNK Blue Gold going on, we're a part of that, and we are going to bring you some of our past interviews that you have said that you really, really like, maybe more than a few of the others. We're going to be hearing from Cole Manhart with the UNK Tradition, now working out with the Philadelphia Eagles, signed to a free agent contract. We talked with him earlier this month. We'll talk Nebraska football with Tom Banderas. We got a lot of positive feedback when the Husker season was over, talking to Bando, the father of Josh Banderas, the former Husker. He knows what it's all about down there in Lincoln. And Jim Halton, Tri-City Storm, recapping the great season. He was named the General Manager of the Year in the USHL over the weekend, and we'll hear some of his stories as well. And we'll also let you know who the brand new Grand Island Central Catholic football coach is going to be. We'll have a chance to chat with him tomorrow on the Doug and Daddy Show with a whole lot more going on. Be sure to listen to Hail Varsity. We'll have a variety of guests this week from 4 to 6 with Chris Schmidt down there in Lincoln. I get a chance to co-host later on in the week, so looking forward to that. But let's start the show off with our Midtown Mart cooler question. Midtown Mart of Hastings, home of the coldest beer and coolest topics. We asked you over the weekend, after ending in a tie for the second year in a row, should the national spelling bee change how the champion is determined? 46% of you said, yeah, we should create a tiebreaker. 36% said, yeah, we should change it by having more words. Don't run out of words. Only 18% of you said, leave it as it is. There is a lot going on this week. Our Midtown Mark cooler question, which you can vote on at ESPNSuperstation.com, is, what event has your attention this week? The NBA Finals, the NHL Finals, the French Open, which has been very exciting today, the Belmont Stakes with American Pharoah going for the Triple Crown, college baseball Super Regionals, or the Women's College World Series, which begins tonight between Michigan and Florida. Plenty of choices. Which event has your attention this week? Boy, I don't even know if I could rate them. I'm going to put the Diamonds at the bottom. Super Regionals will be fun, but the College World Series is where it's at. Getting there is just part of the process. Kind of the same for the Women's College World Series. Florida looks so good over the weekend. Michigan's going to have their hands full. French Open's exciting. If Jack Sock gets this done, that blows it off the map for me. I'm more of a basketball fan than I am a hockey fan, but history. It's got to be, for me, the Belmont Stakes. You know how we love horse racing. You know how I love horse racing. But this week, history will be made. The NHL and NBA Finals won't be over this week. The Belmont will be on Saturday. Can American Pharoah break this long drought in the Triple Crown? And that's my vote of the Belmont Stakes. Well, we had a chance to catch up with Cole Manhart of the UNK football team, who then joined, of course, the Philadelphia Eagles. And we will hear from Cole right after this on the Doug and Daddy Show.
Family Physical Therapy and Sports Center, getting you back in the game of life. With two locations in Kearney, the Ortho Clinic at the Kearney Clinic and the Rehab Clinic at the ENT Building. Family Physical Therapy and Sports Center, excellence in rehabilitation. A very proud supporter of the area athletes in and out of the game. Locations serving Kearney, Lexington, Minden, Ravenna, and Wood River. Family Physical Therapy and Sports Center.
Comforting guidance when you need it most.
Horner, Liske, McBride, and Kuehl.
dedicated, trusted, and compassionate service.
Order Liske, McBride & Kuehl.
We listen to you.
We are here for you.
And we help ease a difficult time.
Our family serving your family for generations. Please call, stop by, or go online. Horner Liske McBride & Kuehl Funeral and Cremation Services.
ESPN Radio Superstation 1460 and 1550 Weather Eye Weather is brought to you by Farm Bureau Insurance agents Rich Peters and Matt Myers on North 2nd Avenue in Kearney.
Farming is your livelihood, and we understand that. After all, the companies of Farm Bureau Financial Services were originally founded to serve the unique insurance and financial services needs of farmers. Contact Farm Bureau agents Rich Peters and Matt Myers in Kearney and learn how they make it simple to help you select the coverage that's right for you today and provide options for the future of your growing operation. Call Rich Peters or Matt Myers in Kearney today. Farm Bureau Property and Casualty Insurance Company, Western Agricultural Insurance Company. Securities and services offered through FBL Marketing Services, LLC. Affiliate, Farm Bureau Financial Services.
A mix of clouds and sunshine develops across the area today with a high about 74, with southeast winds 10 to 20. For tonight, there's an isolated chance for a storm with a low near 58 as winds stay to the southeast. I'm Paul Trombley. Right now, 66.
We built this city. We built this city on rock and roll. Built this city. We built this city on rock and roll.
Back on the Doug and Daddy Show here in the Midway Auto Dealership broadcast booth. Your Midway Auto Group continues to expand. Would love to have you join their group. If you're looking for a career that'll help you and help them, go to MidwayCareers.com. The cool part is you can see the benefits, the details, the actual job description, and then decide which is best for you. Go to MidwayCareers.com. And if you're in the market for a new or pre-owned vehicle, Midway is there with their 8 dealerships, their new used car superstore. You can visit them, or you can also go online at thinkmidway.com. Like them on Facebook. Follow them on Twitter. They've got all kinds of ways. They're out there with us today at the UNK Blue Gold, supporting the community. Your Midway Auto Dealers. We had a chance to catch up with Loper All-American Cole Manhart earlier this month, right after he signed a free agent deal with the Philadelphia Eagles. Cole, great to track you down. We just had Coach Morris on. First off, congratulations, man.
Yeah, thank you very much. Thank you for having me on the show this morning.
Well, really appreciate it. What are you doing right now? What have you been doing since you and the Eagles decided it was time to get together?
You know, believe it or not, just got back to work this morning, working out and trying to get ready for rookie Manning camp coming up on Friday.
Are you still in Cali?
I'm actually out in Denver now.
Okay.
That's where my mom's from and everything. So I trained out in Cali earlier this year, got ready for my pro day, and then came back to Denver and was out here for the draft and everything.
Hey, Cole, Jim Langan here. Question I got for you, and I know you've done this. I haven't, but when you look at the roster of the Eagles, and what are the chances you think you might be playing center instead of some of the positions you've been playing?
You know, there's probably a better chance of me moving inside and playing guard or center than tackling the NFL, and that was a big decision for me deciding to go with the Eagles. They hadn't drafted an offensive lineman in the last 2 years, and just taking a look at their depth chart, you know, they have some really great guys up front, you know, those starting guys, and but there's always room to come in and battle, and that was something I had to look at when I decided where I was going to go in free agency.
We've talked to a lot of free agents on this program, and I always ask the same question. Were you disappointed that you didn't get drafted? Because the side is, hey, they say my name on TV, and I can say I was drafted, which would have been the first Loper since 87. But then the bright side is you can kind of pick who you go play for.
Yeah, no, exactly. You know, I wanted to be drafted since I was a little kid. That's something that you look forward to your whole career and playing football and everything. But, you know, on the same side, going as a free agent opens a lot of doors for you because you get to decide where you're going to go. You get to take a look at the rosters, to your best chance to make a football team. And that's ideally what it comes down to. You know, getting drafted is nice, but at the end of the day, it's about getting on the roster and actually being able to play and suit up for the team.
Yeah, I agree with you. Getting on that roster is really very the most. And we were just talking. Do they have? Is it a 53-man roster? Is that what they keep right now? Is it 53 guys?
Yes, sir. It is.
Yeah, 53, and so, you know, hey, I'll tell you what, that's a better salary than the one I made. If you can make those top 53, hey, I take it right now.
Yeah, exactly.
We're talking with Cole Manhart here, who signs on with the Philadelphia Eagles. How soon do you put some Eagles gear on? When do you report?
Well, I head out this Thursday. I fly out there. You know, we get physicals and everything underway, get the lay of the land, and then Friday we're right into it with the rookie minicamp. All the guys that were drafted, and then the undrafted free agents that they signed, and we get after it this Friday in some Eagles gear.
We asked Coach Morris just a couple of moments ago how your draft stock changed from your junior to your senior year. How do you think it changed?
You know, it's your junior year. That's a big year to get noticed and everything. And then just, even though I didn't get drafted, my name just kind of got out there after I had my a lot of people didn't know we did a junior pro day at the University of Nebraska at Kearney, and we had some scouts come out. And that's when your name really gets thrown out there into the mix. And that just really helped me out my senior year and everything, being able to go to the bowl game, being able to get accepted to go do my pro day at the University of Nebraska. You know, it really did help me. And a lot of guys are going through the same thing. So how it really affected my draft stock, I'm not sure. But just being able to get my name out there and, you know, having the success I did at Nebraska Kearney, it really did help me land in Philadelphia and giving the best shot to make the NFL.
Scouts and coaches are different, although they've probably all been a whistle around their neck at some point. Have you actually got to talk with any of the Eagle coaches?
I have. Actually, when I did my pro day at the University of Nebraska, that was the first time I came in contact with the assistant offensive line coach of the Eagles, and I got to work out right in front of him. He was the one who worked this out. And then throughout the whole process, I stayed in touch with him. I stayed in touch with Coach Stoutland. He's the head offensive line coach at the Eagles throughout the process. They came out and visited me. The chief of staff for the Eagles came out and visited me at my home in Denver. And we just kind of kept a relationship going, talking throughout the whole process. And, you know, that was a big decision for me, too, for why I wanted to go there. It was because a lot of teams called me after the draft was done, but I felt like I had a relationship with these guys. I talked to them. I knew where I was going to go, what type of program and team I was going to go to. So I wasn't going in there blind, and that was a big thing for me.
What did they tell you about your game? They always seem to say more about what you need to work on as opposed to what you're really good at, but what'd they tell you?
You know, they told me that in their offense, you know, Chip Kelly brought a lot of a little bit of the different offense to Philadelphia, and that, you know, I was athletic enough in their schemes to be able to get out and run, move on the inside, that they're going to, you know, work on developing me. Still developing my size and everything, but that I can, you know, run, do well in the run game and then get out and run for them. And that's something that they look for in offensive linemen.
Yeah, that's what Coach said, too. He said, you know, the Eagles, and I don't know a better way to say it, but they really spread their running attack. You know, they spread that whole field out there a little bit. And so, you know, they look for angles. They'll wait a little bit before they make that cutback. And they need their offensive linemen to be able to go vertically and horizontally up and down the field. So I think that's right. I think that team, more than anybody else in the NFL, does that with their running game and tries to get things, just like Oregon's offense was in college football, to some degree.
Yes, sir. Exactly. That's exactly how I saw it as well.
Cole, who was your team growing up? Who was your NFL team growing up?
Well, I'm from Denver, so the Denver Broncos were always my team growing up.
Did it matter? I mean, did you kind of hope Denver would want you?
You know, a little bit, but at the same time, just going through the process, I realized, you know, there's 32 teams out there, and whoever wants to take a shot on me, that's going to be my new favorite team. But you know, I got to work out for the Broncos prior to the draft and everything, and it was a great opportunity. But, you know, now I'm an Eagles fan, so, you know, they took a shot on me, so that's where I'm at now.
Well, the Eagles didn't dominate in the draft with offensive linemen. They had some other positions that they needed to shore up. So I'm guessing you were pretty high on their list.
Yeah. You know, they told me throughout the process just to be ready by my phone. And that, you know, they were going to rebuild a lot of their stuff on the defensive side this year. But about the seventh round, I knew that I was going to go to Philadelphia, whether I got drafted or not. You know, I was waiting, but me had come to, you know, started talking about signing a contract and everything, coming into the seventh round, you know, after the draft was completed, that was probably where I was going to go.
You know, Cole, I played some basketball, and there were some times where I played against somebody and I thought, holy cow, am I out of my realm with this guy. This guy is so much better than me. I didn't realize it, but I got to get through this 20 minutes with trying to make it the best it can be. I got to restrict the damage down. With you, I mean, you've probably haven't had that at UNK where you might have if you went to a higher level. I mean, I'm just saying, let's say you played against a USC lineman or an Alabama or an Ohio State lineman. Are there any concerns that you have about, like, picking up stunts or anything like that?
You know, I actually got to play against a lot of those guys from Division I schools when I played in that bowl game. That was something, you know, at first I was waiting to see how the competition was going to fare in regards to that. And then just getting out there and realizing that it is football. And that, you know, at the end of the day, it's technique and everything. You're going to have to focus on that to be able to beat those guys. But, you know, I do realize moving forward that I'm going to be going against 11 guys every day that are professionals. And that, you know, maybe I played one guy a week in college that was like that. That everything's going to have to be sharper, better. And that I'm going to have to be out on the top of my game every week, every day at practice to be able to make the team. So. No, that is something that I'm going to have to focus on moving forward, where I could get away with stuff in college a little bit more because I wasn't playing the level of competition that a lot of these guys were playing in Division I. But moving forward, I fully expect to go in and compete every day and, you know, get better every day so I can compete with these guys.
Last minute here with Cole Manhart, signed a free agent deal with the Philadelphia Eagles over the weekend. He takes off later this week to strap on the Eagle gear for the first time. And again, we've mentioned it a couple of times on the show, but Cole, I'm a Cowboys fan, so I guess you're the only Eagle that I'll root for. Although that would have been cool blocking for Peyton Manning as opposed to whatever Chip decides to do this year. Well, I want to go back, just get a couple college comments from you. How difficult was it from a player's perspective now that you're out of college? Sometimes we get a little bit better perspective on the RMAC to the MIAA, which you played most of your career in the last 3 years, obviously, in the MIAA.
You know, moving forward from the RMAC to the MIAA, we really just did get to see a jump in athletic ability and the type of players we were going against every week, just the increased number of scholarships, just seeing how much more prepared these teams were than the teams that we played in the RMAC. You know, I wouldn't go back and change anything because it really just helped me develop as a player going against a little bit higher caliber players. But, you know, it really was a big jump moving from the RMAC to the MIAA.
And what do you take away from UNK?
Oh, it was the opportunity of a lifetime. You know, I owe Coach Morris everything. He's a great coach. And, you know, when you're a high school kid, you know, you can get away with just being a big kid, being, you know, somewhat athletic. But, you know, I came in, I was pretty raw, and he turned me into an offensive lineman. His technique, teaching me technique and just teaching me how to approach it as a business. You know, he made you earn everything and the whole program. I loved everything about UNK. I wouldn't change anything in the world. I'm happy that they gave me an opportunity, and I'll always have a special place in my heart for UNK.
Now, the Football Backers fundraiser is tomorrow night. Can we, like, promise a Cole Manhart autographed Philadelphia Eagles practice jersey or something?
I don't know about that yet. You know, well, might have to wait until I get out there and get things settled in. And then, you know, I'm definitely have plans to help UNK out in the future and do whatever I can to help the program out.
Now, I know he was on the other side of the ball, and I thought maybe, do you got any Bob Crocker stories for me?
Oh, Coach Crocker. You know, words can't describe how much love I have for Coach Crocker, and you know he. Even though we didn't get to spend a whole lot of time talking football because he was on the other side of the ball, but you know, you talk about salt of the earth guy. He always I ever had a problem or anything my whole career, I knew I could go in his office and sit there and talk with him, and whether it was about football or life or anything, you know, helping me out, getting me a job, trying to help me get money in my pocket. You know, Coach Crocker, he's one of the class act guys out in Nebraska, and you know, I look up to him a lot.
All right, Cole, we've got your number now, so we're going to hunt you down constantly throughout your all-pro career, okay?
All right, I appreciate it. Thank you for having me on the show.
Cole, congratulations. Best of luck, man.
Yep, thank you.
Cole Manhart, Good luck with the Philadelphia Eagles. We'll have more on the Doug and Daddy Show. Tom Banderas is going to talk a little Nebraska football. We caught up with him after the spring game, and he'll join us right after this.
The reality of today's real estate market is that there are more buyers than listings. Preparation plus the resources afforded by OneRocky.com can put you in the home you want, while delaying could cost you both dollars and the home you want. OneRocky.com, the right website. OneRocky.com, the right smartphone app. Rocky Geyser, the right real estate agent.
This is Rocky Geyser. If you're not on OneRocky.com, you're not on the right website.
If you care, call Rocky Geyser, because he does. OneRocky.com.
Nothing beats the freedom of hitting the road on your bike.
But each year, over 90,000 people are killed or injured in motorcycle accidents.
That's why the Nebraska Safety Center is here.
Call the Nebraska Safety Center at 865-8256 for classes for new or experienced riders and those who haven't ridden in a few years.
You'll learn the rules of the road with classroom and driving range instruction and skills that will keep your time on your bike safe and carefree.
More details and registrations are available on the Nebraska Safety Center website or call 865-8256.
Motorcycle Education Classes, another service of the Nebraska Safety Center.
I'm a business owner, and we called Kearney Crete & Block when we needed a new and inviting-looking driveway.
We called Kearney Crete & Block when we decided to do a fire pit and patio. You should be calling Kearney Crete & Block and Christensen Concrete for all your concrete and masonry supplies. Let the professionals help you enhance the beauty and value of your home and business. Kearney Crete & Block and Christensen Concrete Products, building generations one block at a time.
Play ball!
Great fielding and solid hitting start with the right stuff from TM Sporting Goods. Choose from brands like Louisville Slugger, Rip It, Mizuno, and Wilson. All the summer sports are made better with the right apparel and equipment from TM Sporting Goods.
Save!
Then roll in the expertise provided by Steve Varinall and Tino Martinez. TM Sporting Goods on the Bricks, downtown Kearney, a division of Protein Design. Every sport done right.
Hi, this is Ron Wall with Cargill Ag Horizons Marketing Services, better known as CAMS. As a personal marketing manager, I bring Cargill's global knowledge to your home or office by delivering unique insights that can benefit your operation. When you work with CAMS, you have expert marketers working for you so that you can concentrate on the business of farming. To learn more about how our disciplined approach to risk management can benefit your operation, call me at 402-710-1200. Cargill, helping farmers prosper.
The Fellowship of Christian Athletes is holding a basketball camp for any student entering the 3rd through 8th grade on Thursday, June 11th at the 18th Street Hastings Family YMCA. Former Huskers Brian Conklin and Andrew Drevo, along with former Creighton Blue Jay Ryan Sears, will be on hand to develop your child mentally, physically, and spiritually. The cost is only $15, and participants will receive a T-shirt and a Bible. For more information, contact the Y at 463-3139. Or log on to HastingsYMCA.net.
Welcome back to a special edition of the Doug and Daddy Show, a little best of on this Monday. Tomorrow, we're going to get a chance to talk with the new head football coach at Grand Island Central Catholic. The press conference just wrapping up in Grand Island, and they had Charlie Shoemaker take the job at Hastings. Of course, when something happens this late, you don't have a lot of time, but they are able to find somebody in-house in Kurt Finke. So congratulations to Kurt. He is the new football coach at Grand Island Central Catholic. Well, TNL has more new great equipment to help you. They've been growing since the mid-50s from their worldwide headquarter in Hastings. They've covered every state in the country. They're in over 60 countries worldwide. Why do you think that is, folks? It's because hydrostatic power works. And right now, you can check out the new GPS navigation corner system. It's like no other. Your TNL dealer can tell you more about it, like Kyle Stewart at R&K Irrigation in Grand Island or Derek Wagner at Wagner Irrigation in Holdridge. Like no other in your field, as you can continue to drive across the area, you see TNL continues to grow and grow and grow, and there's one reason why. They're the best. Contact your TNL dealer. We had a chance to catch up with former Husker Tom Banderas, the father of Josh Banderas, after spring football. And first thing I asked him is, how's his son doing, and how does he like the new coaching staff?
Well, it's getting better. You know, I mean, it was just a bad situation from the standpoint of, you know, all these freshmen come in wanting to play early. And I certainly think that a skilled position, you got like a DPE, you know, wide receiver. I mean, in some instances, even a corner. But I think the closer you get to that line of scrimmage, especially for defensive under Bo, the Mike linebacker position. I mean, honestly, to throw an 18-year-old kid in there from the very beginning was just, you know, quite frankly, it's unfair. And that's coming from guys like Mark Mumford, Barrett Rood, and Jay Foreman, you know, guys that said there's absolutely no way they could have done it as true freshmen. So to throw him in there like they did and then to scrutinize him instead of just standing behind him like they did, let's say, at Taylor Martinez, I think just kind of, you know, the back and forth really just hurt his confidence. I mean, same kid, same athlete, but the 6 inches between the ears, you know, certainly was affected at that time.
What were the positives out of playing at such a young age?
Well, I just think you learned, you know, you learned the physicality of it. You learned big-time football. You learn to appreciate it and know that, hey, I got to get better here, right? Either I'm going to get a mud hole stomped in me or, you know, I'm going to be on the bench. I mean, you know, he certainly learned from it. You know, looking back, wished he would have redshirted that first year? Possibly, but I still look at it differently now, saying, you know, hey, you know, unfortunate injury happens. He still has that red shirt in the back pocket.
Tom Adaris with us, a member of the 80s Husker football teams, and his son Josh at that linebacker spot, which is getting talked about not maybe being the deepest position on the football team. Your thoughts on what Nebraska has at linebacker besides Josh?
Well, I think everyone keeps forgetting about David Santos along with the new scheme. I think we've kind of got this mindset of our linebackers really since Bo's been here, you know, less Levante. You know, but I think it's a proven fact now. But, I mean, Levante just did what he wanted. I mean, Bo would consistently get up in front of the mic and just say, you know, Levante's got to get better. He's not fitting his run gaps. You know, he just really did what he wanted and made plays. And you're not going to sit him on the bench when he's getting 15 tackles a game, right? Now, obviously, he was a hell of an athlete. He's making the professional ranks now. So, you know, he was just a special player and could get that done. But, you know, most people just can't do it. You got to do what you're told to do or you're going to get yanked. But sometimes that defensive scheme was designed for, you know, a bunch of all pros. I think it's a better professional defense because all 11 guys are well above average. You know, and you're not going to get that on most college teams. You know, at LSU we had it, but you're not going to get that on most college teams. So, you know, I always, you know, used Will Compton as a reference. I mean, I remember he would just take a beating. Well, the Washington Redskins sure seem to think he's a pretty good player. you know, and I'll even use other positions. Eric Martin, who was number 9 for us a couple of years ago, that's playing outside linebackers for the Texans. I can't remember his name right now, but he was a senior last year. He wore number 9, played defensive end for us, but he's down on the Texans roster right now. And I know that he took a lot of heat and scrutiny around here. So I think it was a more of a schematic type situation that it didn't allow these guys to just go. You had a lot of trigonometry, I call it, to do. You know, now we're down to just simple arithmetic.
You aren't talking about my boy Crick, are you, Tom?
No, not Crick. No. He just played Josh's freshman year. Ankra.
Jason Ankra. Yeah, okay, yep, sorry.
Yeah, Ankra. Yeah, you know, and I remember he took a beating. You know, just wasn't very good. Da-da-da-da-da-da-da. Well, again, Houston thinks he's pretty good. So we've had some guys that went on to flourish. I wouldn't say flourish in the NFL, but they certainly are on rosters that, you know, quite frankly, the fans and sometimes the media beat up a little bit. So, you know, I think a lot of the unfair scrutiny on my own son happened because of his age. You know, he was being, you know, judged and treated like he was a fifth-year senior when he was just, in fact, you know, right out of high school. So that's, you know, as a dad, probably the thing that, you know, kind of irritated me the most. You know, I think you'll see a different kid out of him now. And a lot of it has to do with just age again. You know, now he's a junior. I mean, he's 20 years old, not just have turned, you know, 18 years old. I mean, it's a big deal at that level, you know. So I just think that this new scheme, at least defensively, allows less thinking. You still have responsibilities, but allows you to just go, flow, and make plays. Because let's face it, as Mumford always says, one ball, 11 defenders, go find it. I mean, and sometimes it is that simple.
Damon Day here, and obviously with the trials and tribulations of being so successful at a young age, what was your advice to him? through this as being a player and then also being his father. I mean, you were a Husker. You kind of know what it is to be a Husker. What advice did you give him to kind of get him through all the scrutiny and everything else that comes with being a Husker?
It's just the simple words, hang in there. I mean, it is a grind. It is obviously it's a wonderful opportunity. I mean, I never want anybody. That was a great experience, and all these kids will look back. It'll just seem sweeter then than it does now. Now it maybe feels like a grind, but you just got to hang in there. It is not easy. I mean, every year they're bringing in new guys. You know, now you're going through a coaching change. I mean, it's something. It's not for the weak-minded. You have to hang in there. Keep working, keep grinding. It's never as bad as they say, and it's never as good as they say. You know, you have to almost be, you know, start getting your brand and your identity, you know, as this thing goes through. But I think those first 2 years will, in fact, play dividends his last 2 years, no doubt about it.
Tom Banderas, former Husker, joining us here on the Doug and Daddy Show. Doug Duda, Damon Day with you on this Thursday. One of the cool things is Damon mentioned being the former Husker. You have, and living in Lincoln, you've had an opportunity, maybe more than most, to watch practice or be around guys that are on the team, have graduated, et cetera, et cetera. What's your feeling and what have you seen from the coaching change?
Oh, I think, you know, my key words I've been using is just working environment. I don't care, you know, what industry you're in talking about, what entity you're talking about. If you have a favorable working environment, you should be able to extract more positive things. I don't care if you're in sales or playing football. I think that they've presented just a nice working relationship that, hey, we're in this together. It's nobody's fault. We're just trying to get better and win some games. And a lot more teaching, you know, and I don't say that the other staff didn't teach. It just, this seems just a little bit more in depth to me. And maybe there's not a lot of that old school football coach, you know, we always remember that's always got to be yelling and screaming. You know, I think that yelling and screaming needs to come in spurts, you know, when it's effective, because when you do it all the time, it becomes ineffective. And these kids at this age, for sure, that has closed their ears to you, you know. So I think that's what was going on. I just think it had gotten to be a bad culture. It originally wasn't, but I think the pressure built on Bo, and then, of course, everything flows downhill. And I think these last couple of years, that's kind of where it's gotten. And, you know, I said the other day, everything has a shelf life. You know, Bo's shelf life was just over. Not good, bad, or indifferent. It's just somebody else's turn now.
Tom, how far is this team? What do you think, as we talked about Coach Riley, just the newness, trying to get everything ready. So when they get into fall camp, how much work do they have to do? What do you think we've got talent level-wise, scheme-wise? What do you see from the team this fall?
Well, what I really like to just preface that a little bit is there truly was open competition. I mean, that sixth string guy was getting reps. He was getting opportunities to show what he has. What I think that they're going to filter through now, maybe a little bit through summer, you can't really learn too much there. They'll be doing some 7-on-7 with some skilled stuff, but you know that really doesn't apply, because you know the game changes when you have the live bullets flying. But what they'll do is they'll get that first, second team down, the projected, and then maybe who those third guys are, depending on what position where they need more. And then you just really got to hone in. I mean, I think once they start taking a bulk of the snaps, you're going to see a lot more rapid growth in fall camp over what was this first spring. But no, I think everything looks good. We have to settle in on who's going to be at that offensive line, but I do honestly believe there's probably 8, maybe 9 guys that can rotate in there. I think running back, we're okay. We're diversified there. Anyway, I think it's still going to be running back by committee. Of course, defensive interior line, we're fine there. We've got depth. I worry about, obviously, depth for defensive end and linebacker, of course. Seems like the corners and the safeties are fine back there. So, you know, and then, of course, the quarterback position, right? I mean, I'm going to stick behind Tommy, and what I say about Tommy is I'm going to give him a little bit more rope early than the other guys like Darlington and Bush, because they never had to be deprogrammed. I mean, you know, think about it. Tommy's had to stick in there with Beck and or the old offense. So that's entrenched in him right now. So when he's looking at reads and stuff, I mean, he's still got a little bit of the right brain saying, oh, this way, and then the left brain going, oh, Langsdorf. So he needs a little bit more withdrawal time, where Darlington and Bush were just on special team last year. They were just looking at a chart that somebody held in front of their face and said, hit the two receiver. So that's a little perspective that I don't know if everyone's thought about, but I still think that Tommy's going to be the guy, and if we can get Langsdorf to get him to hit checkdowns, to hit intermediate pass patterns, that will increase his percentage. It will give him confidence, and I think we can get the move in those chains. So do I think Tommy's the national championship quarterback? Probably not right now, but if we can put something together, we just got to get back into that Big Ten championship game. That's the key.
Last minute here with Tom Banderas, former Husker, joining us here on the Doug and Daddy Show. You kind of answered about three of my questions there with running back, quarterback. Are you on the page that the defense is ahead of the offense right now?
Yeah, but I think that that's customary. I mean, I think of years past, even under Bo, you know, the defense was ahead. I mean, I don't know why. I just think that it was. So, yes, and again, this new scheme is just different to the eye. It looks the same. It looks like the old 4-3. It looks the same, but the responsibilities are different. Of course, we didn't do any blitzing in the spring game. I suspect that we're going to blitz 30 to 40% of the time, which we very seldom did under Bo. It was more of a prevent, bend but don't break, what Bo was trying to accomplish, where I think this one is attack and let's get some turnovers and let's force their hand a little bit, which, you know, I would think most defenders would just love that angle of it. You know, I don't want to sit back. I want to go and try to force the hand a little bit. Then, you know, hopefully more turnovers and more interceptions and things like that will happen.
You were a frequent guest on Adrian Fiala's show down there in Lincoln, the Legend Show. I thought you probably would have a comment on his passing.
Yeah, no, just a great guy. We had an opportunity to go over there after the spring game. I sat with him and Rod Smith, who played wide receiver in the class of 83 with me. We went over there from 7 to 8, got to spend some good time with Adrian and, you know, said goodbye. I mean, there was no doubt when we left there that I was actually surprised that Adrian made it through Sunday. But just a heck of a guy. I mean, we knew Adrian was kind of like an uncle, you know, to Rod and I and Fran, and we'd go out there and visit him. And, you know, he was just larger than life then, you know, because he always was a good-looking dude and had them big fingers, and he was just a thick man. But and then he was just always been around for these last 30 years. And, yeah, no, I really, you know, really going to miss him. And, you know, he's in a good spot up there for sure.
And on the opposite side of things, what do you make of the whole Randy Gregory deal?
You know, here's the thing about Randy. Randy's a great, great guy. He really, really is. I think Randy's got a little bit of a problem. You know, we all have our own little problems that we got to deal with. I think Randy just really needs to concentrate and focus on that issue. And once he gets that whipped, and I sure hope he does, yeah, I think the sky's the limit for the kid. I mean, he is an athletic, you've heard the use, freaky type dude. I mean, he is so fluid that if he can keep away his weight up and keep that mind right, I think I think on this next contract, even though he's going to have a heck of one here, if he can get in that NFL, keep his nose clean, as I call it, and, you know, sign that next 3-year contract, it could be huge. Because I think he could be an impact type outside linebacker. But if he don't take care of those problems that he has, it could end up being a waste. And I don't want to see it, because he's a great kid and his dad and family are very good people. And I really like him a lot. I want him to get this thing whooped.
And any of these other guys, Amir, Kenny, and you can name somebody else if you want to, got a chance to have a long and successful career in the NFL?
I think, you know, I just don't know how you cannot keep Amir on a roster, you know, and I think that he, you know, he may not get, quote, as we always say, the respect early, but I think he'll have a nice career in the NFL. You know, somebody will find a way to utilize his skills because it's deeper than, I mean, I don't even say it needs to be deeper than athletic ability, because he's at the top of that as well, you know, but I think the sneaky one could be Kenny, actually. You know, I don't see him as special teams. I mean, I think he's that, you know, kind of that fifth receiver on most teams. And I think he can actually play on the kickoff team myself. You know, he's another one that if he keeps his weight up, you know, these guys are competitors. You know, that's the little hidden gem that I know about some of these kids that, you know, just because I'm in town and I can get to practice and things that people don't know. You know, there's that down deep. I mean, these guys are competitors. And, you know, sometimes that carries a big load.
Tom, have a great day. Thanks for giving us the time on the Doug and Daddy Show.
I appreciate it. Thank you.
Tom Banderas joining us here on a best of the Doug and Daddy Show on ESPN Radio. Running down some of the action from the weekend before we take our final break, NCAA Baseball Super Regional, six teams have already been determined. Missouri State eliminated Iowa yesterday, and Louisville knocked out Michigan. Virginia, maybe a little bit of a surprise. We talked about them last week on the program, but they hammer home that third seed, and some exciting games out at USC last night. Arkansas and Dave Van Horn, they're on to the Super Regional, as is Cal State Fullerton. Maryland and Illinois, the only two Big Ten teams left. Indiana got defeated yesterday by Radford. Radford plays Vanderbilt later today. Up at 1 o'clock this afternoon, Illinois will play Wright State. And then tonight at 10, Maryland plays UCLA. The winners are on to the Super Regionals. And there was some late-night baseball. If you were up late last night, you saw it. How about 20 innings? Rice 3, Houston 2. Rice 3, Houston 2. American Legion Baseball, it was Grand Island Home Federal going 4-0. Kearney and Hastings 2-2 in the same tournament this weekend. Kearney 5 points, went 4-0 and winning their tournament. Kearney Post 52 went 3-2. Also, the Shrine Soccer Classic over the weekend, one total goal. A lot of defense. Had a lot of kids from the area playing. Kevin Andrade and Moises Garcia of Lexington were on the victorious Boys South team, which won in a shootout 5-3. On the North, Elmer Garcia, Marvin Juarez, Jose Harrow of Grand Island, and Jake Satley of Northwest. In the girls' game, the South won 1-0. On the North team was Ali Prasoski of Kearney Catholic, Kelsey Stidham of Kearney High, and Taylor Rodriguez of Grand Island. The Nebraska Danger didn't have Jameel Sewell on Saturday, and that probably cost them as they fell to Colorado's Ice 53-36. The Danger still have a chance to be home for the first round of the playoffs. They'll take on Wichita Falls coming up this Saturday. And, of course, Nebraska picked up a running back commit in Afonso Thomas over the weekend out of Van, Texas. 6'9", 190-pounder, was an all-district and honorable mention all-state selection last year. Plus, Jim Holton named the USHL's GM of the Year. We'll hear from the coach when we come back.
Locally owned Hastings Physical Therapy, chosen since 2002 for excellence in one-on-one care. Even in this rapidly changing healthcare environment, we at Hastings Physical Therapy want you to know the choice is still yours when selecting your physical therapist. We offer convenient hours and parking, privately owned and next to Applebee's. Call Hastings Physical Therapy at 402-462-2665 to schedule your appointment today.
Have you ever seen a rusty fish? The same way scales protect the fish from his environment, the Armacoating Spray-On Bed Liners from the Dent Popper protects your pickup bed. No rust, no dents, no scratches, no chemical corrosion. So your truck has a longer work life and holds its value longer. Reduces load slippage, and here's a bonus, it quiets the ride. See the Dent Popper north of Railroad on First, on the bricks, downtown Kearney, and get a free estimate for an Armacoating Spray-On Bed Liner. Guaranteed for as long as you own your truck.
It's that time of year again, so dust off the bikes and head to Upland, Nebraska for the 14th Annual Faces Rally, June 12th through the 14th. Events being held during the rally include a fun run, a bike show, bike games, a hog roast, live auction on Saturday at 6, enjoy music on Friday night from Area 52, and Saturday from One Horse Town. There will be vendors and other activities as well. The rally is focused on raising money and awareness for the National Craniofacial Association. Find more information about registration at facesrally.org. The 14th Annual Faces Rally in Upland. Proudly sponsored by BBLC Digital Outdoor, Kearney. Fort Theater Dentistry, Kearney. Aurora Co-op Agronomy Division, Upland. Rogers Foundation, Minden First Bank and Trust. Holstein Construction, Scott Shaw, Holstein. Pioneer Seed, Doug Bolt in Upland. See you at the 14th Annual Faces Rally, June 12th through the 14th in Upland, Nebraska.
Prairie Hills Golf Course, located just 10 short miles north of Kearney on Highway 10, is under new management. Prairie Hills Golf Course is a beautiful course nestled on 132 acres of rolling hills that makes for a fun and challenging golf experience. And they have the lowest 18-hole rates in the area. Call to reserve your tee time now or call to ask about their upcoming leagues. Just call Justin at 308-388-5115 at Prairie Hills Golf Course. That's 308-388-5115.
Up on the Doug and Danny Show. Glad you're along with his final segment. When the hockey season ended, we talked with Jim Holton, had a chance to talk to the Tri-City Storm head coach and general manager numerous times throughout their most successful season since 2004. Most wins, made the playoffs, tied the franchise record for a winning streak with 10 in a row. And on Friday afternoon, he was named the USHL General Manager of the Year. We caught up with him the day the season ended, and we all hoped that they'd still be playing a little hockey.
Yeah, I had greatly anticipated the fact that we'd still be playing, but as we all know in sports, it's tough things to predict.
The Storm fell by a goal on Friday night and then they got out of the gate. They scored in the first 35 seconds on Saturday, but then Sioux Falls scored five in a row. But without physically being able to be there, coach, like we were for the home games, I'm guessing the shorthanded goal on Friday night might have ripped the guts out of everybody. Was that the case?
Well, we battled back. It wasn't a Picasso by any stretch of the imagination, but I liked our resolve in the game and battled back to 3-3, and then they scored a goal from, in the corner below the goal line, just a horrific bounce with a minute and a half to go. Yeah, it was a tough one to bounce back from because we were in a position to steal a game and put them on the ropes. And in a short series in terms of three games, the tide can turn quickly. But I liked the way we played in a really, really highly ironic sense. I thought the last game might have been the best team performance aside from the result in our playoffs. Our guys never give up. We ran into some situations that we couldn't control. But I like the fact, we outshot them, we outchanced them. Our compete level was very high. It just, in my mind, just wasn't meant to be.
Yeah, Dave Greek was at the games, and he called me on the phone and told me, he said, oh, wow, it was a really tough goal with about a minute to go that hit you. Talk a little bit. Was it a shot from like halfway across the ice, you know? I mean, tell a little bit about that shot. What happened there exactly?
Well, I wish I could tell you what happened. The player was buried in the corner, and his skates were probably below the goal line. He just turned and fired it in the general direction of the net, and it hit. I'm not sure if it hit Alex's skate or stick or whatever, but went in the net. It's unfortunately the shot that if he takes it 100 times, might go in once. But for our sake, it found a way in the back of the net. And that was a game we had all the momentum at that point. We were losing 3-1 with 9 minutes to go. In a tough building, and our guys showed incredible resolve to come back and tie it up with 5 minutes to go. And suddenly now, the magic word momentum, we have it on our behalf, and I think we're going to win that game, probably heading into overtime, feeling good about ourselves. And in the blink of an eye, now we're down with a minute to go. And we even had some good looks with the goalie out, but just couldn't get the tire. But that's a tough one to come back from.
Jim Holton, head coach of the Tri-City Storm, with us here on the Doug and Daddy Show. So the quick turnaround for the first time in this series, you ended up playing back-to-back nights. So what was the feeling between games 3 and 4?
Well, the game 3 is a tough one to bounce back from, but we talked about it and the fact that, and we talked a lot about it, the playoffs is about being mentally tough and dealing with adversity. And we haven't had to deal with a ton of it this season, but I like the way our guys rallied around Saturday. We made a bit of an educated decision to go with Jarrett Rutledge, which was, sometimes your gambles pay off, sometimes they don't. It was a tough spot to put him in, but my concern was more Alex was having a tough time getting back around after a tough goal, and he had been terrific. And our goaltending was the backbone of our team throughout the season, but it was a tough spot to put both kids in. So it was a damned if you do, damned if you don't situation. Went with Jared, and unfortunately just didn't work out for us.
Coach,
Coach, I know you're disappointed now, but when I'm going to reflect on the season for you as just somebody that doesn't really pay that much attention to hockey, but I just love sport, is the community has really risen with you. They like you. You're an easy interview for us. You've always been real humble about winning this year, but I'm telling you right now, you turn this thing around. You should feel very satisfied with what you did this year.
Well, I appreciate your kind words, but I honestly believe the credit goes to our core of guys, the guys that are in our room, and they were a pleasure to coach. I mean, they put the joy back in coaching, and straight from, you know, I think of the commitment that these kids made in the summer to fitness. They came in just fabulous shape, and it was a great indicator that we were going to do probably some special things this year. And you're right, it's hard to have perspective right now. It's still pretty raw, but I think we've established ourselves as a team that, and a franchise now that can do things properly. We have a great commitment from our kids, and hopefully this is a stepping stone and a turning point for the franchise where we can be one of those perennial contenders that you always want to be.
So that means you will come back next year? Is that what that means? You're going to be coaching here next year?
Well done, Jimmy.
That's well worded. Well played. Yeah, we're still talking, and we will continue to talk. I need to decompress for a bit. I need to get back, have some in-depth conversations with my family. But Mr. Brooks and I have been in constant communication, and we're both on the same page, moving in the right direction.
Well, Kirk Brooks is a pretty smart guy, or he wouldn't be where he is. I mean, there's no doubt that the Storm want Jim Holton, but let's face it, Coach, we've nudged you a little bit on this. The job you've done here, there's the next level, and there have to be opportunities there for you.
Well, we'll see. I mean, the way we've always worked as a family is that we just kind of take the opportunities as they arise. But I will tell you that I've been in the coaching game for a long time. This is one of the best situations that I've ever been in terms of when you factor everything in terms of the people that you surround yourself, that you work with, the people that you work for, the community that you're in. When you factor all those things in, this is a terrific place, and it's going to take one hell of an offer or opportunity somewhere else to better this.
We're talking with Jim Holton here for another couple minutes because I want to get into the draft. But I guess something that I didn't realize, and sometimes you're looking at the frosting on the cake and you don't dig in there a little bit. It's a long season. These kids are away from home. They're living with their sponsor parents here. And I guess, I don't know that there's a perfect way to put this, but it was kind of brought to my attention recently that, you know, these kids, they kind of want to get home too. You want to play well, you want to have a great season, but then the playoff, I mean, there's, outside of hanging a banner, they're not making $100,000 for winning the Clark Cup. Does that play into the postseason at all? Because this is something we haven't got a chance to talk about because the Storm hasn't went deep for 8 years.
You know what, it does, it's a very good question because it does on a lot of junior teams. My experience is in junior is that it's a natural instinct at this time of year to want to go home. But I can tell you from firsthand experience that our dressing room was as crushed emotionally as I've seen in 15 years of junior hockey. So that tells me very few guys were thinking about going home. And that's not always the case. As I said, I've spent more than a decade coaching this age group. And I mean, that was one of the most emotional, difficult moments I've ever had as a coach trying to address that group after our loss. And that just tells me how tight this group was, how special it was, because it's unique. So your question is valid most years, but it wasn't this year.
That's good to know. Draft tonight, a lot of people, unless they're diehard hockey fans, and I've been doing this for 15 years with this Storm, and sometimes I still don't get it. There's phase one tonight. There's phase two tomorrow. Explain what's going to be going on here over the next 48 hours.
I was hoping you guys could explain how our draft works because going into my second year, I still don't really know. But basically, tonight is the stock for the future. It's to build a list for the future. So we'll pick 10 players tonight who will be hopefully part of the Storm in 2 years' time. Tomorrow is phase two, and that's more of a here-in-the-now draft to cut down to the chase. That's kids that are eligible to come in and play right away. The ticker, I guess, here is that we potentially one or two players that we pick tonight could play in our team, but they'd be very, very young.
but it has been done, and there will be players born in 1999 that will play in our league next year. So it's two-phase. Tonight's more or less kind of the big picture. You're looking down the road. Tomorrow is more looking to address some immediate needs. For example, last year's draft produced Wade Allison, Mason Appleton, Alec Dillon in the first couple rounds that obviously came in and made huge impacts right away.
Coach Jim Holton with us here. Yeah, Mason was the third overall pick last year for the Tri-City Storm. So where do these, Coach, there's so many, there's so much hockey out there that it's hard to even scout as opposed to other sports out there. But let's say you draft a kid that was born in 99 in phase one, but then you got to get kids for immediate needs. How do these kids fall between the cracks? Is that the way to say it, that weren't previously drafted, and then you find an Appleton and you find a Dillon?
Yeah, what happens are a lot of them have been drafted. It's a unique situation, and this adds to the confusion for not only our fan base, but also those of us involved in the league that came in relatively new, is those futures list, if they're not on a team, so we draft 10 guys tonight, if they're not on our team in 2 years, they go back into the draft eligible pool. So that's how it ends up being. We'll end up drafting 18 kids tomorrow, and probably half of them will have been property of another USHL team at some point earlier in their career. It's kind of a plan to open up more opportunities for players. For example, if you had a powerhouse team and your futures guys can't get on your roster in 2 years, then they would be effectively held out of the league. But it adds a lot of confusion to it. So it's not as though you're picking through a ton of leftovers. It's more or less the pond has been restocked.
And what will the team, what are your needs, what do you got to address, I guess, again, for the fans out there, the key pieces that you'll be losing off this year's team that you'll have to address right away?
Well, the most glaring need is center ice. We've lost the majority of our centermen. We're not sure on a guy like Connor Velasano if there's a possibility he could get a late scholarship offer. Nolan Abel is our only age-eligible returnee down the middle, so center is going to be first and foremost the need, and then probably on the wings and in net. We're in decent shape on the back end. We had probably three guys returning, and then we're pretty comfortable with three other guys off of our futures list from last year's draft. So probably, in my eyes, center and goalie would be our number one priorities.
You talked about it before the series, that Sioux Falls had kind of caught lightning in a bottle with a couple of trades and had really fired it up here, where you were more consistent all season long. I assume you probably think that they can win this whole thing?
Yeah, I do. They're on one of those magical runs that we see occasionally in sports, and it sometimes defies description. Best way I can put it is, normally on any team, any sport, come playoff time, you need people to elevate. But if you get a third of your roster to elevate their performance, you got a chance to go a ways. I can honestly tell you that probably 80% of the Sioux Falls roster played above where they played during the regular season. And hence the reason, and we see it occasionally in sports. There's all kinds of different examples out there. But I just think their confidence and the role they're on right now. And I said before the playoffs started, I thought any one of the eight teams in the playoffs could emerge as the winner, and I still believe that.
Dubuque and Muskegon, they've had some lopsided games, but they're going to a Game 5. That'll be tomorrow night. So Dubuque and Muskegon winner will play Sioux Falls, the fourth seed out of the Western Conference for the Clark Cup, Jimmy.
Yeah. Hey, you know, he made a great point, Coach did, too, about in some sports that does happen. Ohio State maybe caught fire in football this year after they started off, you know, barely beating Navy and losing to Virginia Tech and struggling with Indiana. And then all of a sudden they kind of had a couple quarterbacks go down and the whole team stepped it up. And that was an example I think Coach is talking about. I can see that in the NFL every once in a while. Somebody will catch fire. A sixth seed will just get in and just take over, you know. So great point.
Now you can sit back and take care of the draft and watch a little of the Stanley Cup, Coach.
Absolutely. I watched about three games last night. You know, what can you do on your first day off other than watch hockey?
Well, Coach, we appreciate the time. We'll chat again. Best of luck in the draft and whatever the future holds. Just, again, a great season. As we kind of wrap it up, is there anything that we haven't touched on or anything that the listeners need to know about the team?
No, I just I think it's important that the fans know how grateful we were for their enthusiasm and the excitement and, as you alluded to, not just at the rink, but in the entire town. It was really neat. That's, to me, the beauty of junior hockey is small communities that rally around it, and it's really unique. Our kids really appreciate the experience of living in Kearney and being part of a community that became real passionate about hockey, and I think it's really hoping to something that we can build on down the road, because when this building is full and the energy and the excitement, there's no better place to play.
Coach, best of luck, and we'll talk again soon.
Thanks, guys. I really appreciate the support.
Jim Holton from earlier this month here, well, in May, after the hockey season had ended. It's June 1st. We hope you have a great June. We hope you enjoyed some of the interviews that you guys all thought were outstanding. And now as you're headed off to lunch, don't forget the Chicken Coop in Kearney is the bar and grill that is the best of both worlds. And if you like wings, give them a try with duck wings. Maple Leaf farm-raised ducks. They bring the wings into the Chicken Coop, and you can dip them in one of your favorite sauces. And if you haven't tried the new mango habanero, get that on anything. The duck wings, the chicken wings, your sandwiches, it's all there for you. And, of course, Monday is Coop Koozie Night. You buy the koozie for $5. You can put the 12-ounce cold ones in all night long for only $1 while you're watching your favorite sporting events. The Chicken Wing, the Chicken Coop Bar and Grill, best of both worlds. Downtown Kearney. Want to thank producer Caleb for taking care of things today. We'll be back on the Doug and Daddy Show tomorrow and talk with the new head football coach at Grand Island Central Catholic, and there's so much more, in Kurt Finke, and talk a little Damon Day, co-host, and just a lot going on this week. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you tomorrow.
You've been listening to a Doug and Daddy podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney.
Oh, darling, I feel like amazing.
Don't make me do that again.
Game. Hey.